Preaching this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 6. We find there the high priestly blessing. We start reading at verse 22. Numbers 6, verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them," and now follows the text for the preaching, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." We now listen to the preaching of the gospel. And afterwards we sing together hymn 35, stanzas 1, 2 and 4. Hymn 35, 1, 2 and 4, after the preaching of the gospel. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, what is it that makes New Year's Eve special? Why do so many of us sit up that evening until after midnight? Some of us remember, no doubt, when the year 1999 came to a close. Then many people were wondering what kind of damage might be done by the so-called millennium bug. So at midnight, at the beginning of the year 2000, many people were sitting up, waiting to find out. But even on that night, nothing exciting happened. But still, again and again, on every New Year's Eve, many of us sit up and wait until after midnight before we go to bed. Although many of our children are grumpy the following day, although many of us adults feel it on the following day no less than our kids do, nevertheless, we keep on doing it anyways. It's a thing that almost everybody does. We cannot help ourselves. And so last Tuesday night again, many of us were up late, even until the early hours of the morning. And in a way, it was exciting. For some of us, it was exciting because 2014 promises to be a special year. It might be a year in which we will graduate, or get married, or get a new job, or make public profession of our faith. But even if we had no special plans for 2014, the beginning of the year is still special. In the first place, because the year was new. On Wednesday morning, we could hang up our new mission calendars. And later on the day, we could visit with relatives or friends and wish them a happy new year or a blessed new year, like many Christians prefer to say. The beginning of a new year is always exciting because it gives everybody an opportunity to make a fresh start, because there are no mistakes in the new year yet. If anybody wants to make changes to his life, after just 24 hours, he could already say, "I have been doing this already since the beginning of the year." Or if somebody wants to make a New Year's resolution to attend Bible study, after just one meeting, we can say that we haven't missed a meeting since the beginning of the year. If we want to make changes in our lives, the beginning of the new year is the ideal time, because the old year is full of sins and mistakes and failures. But in January, the old year is history, The new year is as clean as a new calendar, as spotless as a blank page. And so now it is still possible to make a good start to the new year. And this morning, on the first Sunday of this new year, God comes to us with his blessing. At the end of this worship service again, you will hear God's promise to bless you and to keep you. God will promise to make his face shine upon you, and he will be gracious to you. And he will also promise to turn his face towards you and give you peace. This three-part promise of God's blessing. In the year 2014, God will repeat this promise to you every Sunday again. And so I preach to you this morning the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: as God's children, we begin the year 2014 with his blessing. In this blessing we taste the protection of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, and the peace of God the Holy Spirit. As God's children, we begin the year 2014 with God's blessing. In this blessing we taste the protection of God the Father. Now when the Bible says that God blesses, that can mean two different things. Two different things. In the first place, in Deuteronomy 28, for example, God promises to bless the fruit of the womb. God will bless the crop of the land. God will bless the young of the livestock. There, God promises to bless by doing good things, by giving good things. God will make the corn and the berries grow. God will make little children grow in their mother's womb. God promises to bless us by making good things happen in our lives. And then, when God blesses, we can see it, we can measure it. But the blessing of our text is different. It's not about what God is going to do for us or give to us. Instead, in our text, God blesses us by telling us what is living in his heart. To put it in very human terms, when I proclaim to you at the end of this worship service, the Lord bless you, that means the Lord wishes every one of you all the best in 2014. That's the blessing. And there is a special reason why God blesses us, particularly at the beginning of this new year. And we learn from Genesis 1 that God blessed the birds and the fish. God created the birds and the fish. And then God blessed them, even when he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. And God also blessed Adam and Eve when he commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. So this is the pattern. God gives his creatures a job to do, and in connection with that job, God blesses them. In other words, when God gives us a job, by blessing us at the same time, God says, "My children, this job which I give to you, I am blessing you, and that means you don't have to do this by yourselves. So do not rely on your own power, on your own wisdom, or on your own resources. No, I am blessing you. That means I am promising to stand at your side as you are doing your work. I am promising to work for you and with you to make sure that everything turns out okay. So, regardless of what happens, don't worry and don't panic." This explains why we need God's blessing, especially this Sunday morning. Because tomorrow, for many of us, life will get seriously busy again. Our children will have to go to school again. And in 2014, God gives every one of us a job to do at home, at school, in the office, on the job site, on the farm. God also gives us all a task in our families and in our church community. God understands that when we mess up, we are easily overwhelmed and quickly discouraged. God understands that sometimes we just want to give up because it's too much. And so, the Lord bless you. That means also in 2014, the Lord will be at your side with his power and his grace and his wisdom and his love. God wants us all to do our job joyfully and with confidence. That's why he comes to us this morning again with his blessing. Of course, we understand that the blessing of Numbers 6 was designed for the Israelites in Canaan. When the Israelites would be living in that land flowing with milk and honey, when their barns would be full and their cattle would be fat with calves, then the words of this blessing were supposed to remind the Israelites of where it all was coming from. The Lord bless you. That means it is the Lord who has given all this to you. That was when the Israelites were in Canaan, when they had plenty. But think about those other Israelites. You know, those other Israelites who spent 40 years in the desert. Every day, they had to walk through the hot sand and wave away flies. And every evening, they had to pitch their tent under the hot sun. For 40 years, they had sand in their hair, sand in their clothes, sand in the food, sand in their beds. But every day, the high priest would still raise his hands over them, and he would still say to them, "The Lord bless you and keep you." In those miserable circumstances, who could believe that the Lord was blessing them? Oh, if the Israelites would be in Canaan, if those Israelites would be wealthy and healthy and happy, then it would be easy to believe that the Lord was blessing them. But in the desert, with all that heat and sand and flies, is this really blessing? Surely it cannot be true that the Lord is blessing them. Surely that doesn't make sense. And this brings us to the question, brothers and sisters, what about us? Is God really blessing us? Oh, every Sunday, the minister says to us, "The Lord bless you." But how can we know if the Lord really is blessing us? If we look back over the last 12 months, and now I have to go by the Chilliwack column in the church news, but if we look back over the last 12 months in the Chilliwack congregation, about a dozen babies were born. And that sounds like quite an abundant blessing. And most of the time, when those babies were born, we could thank the Lord for healthy babies. And we could say, "Thank you, Lord, for this blessing of health for this baby." But when a baby is born that is not in perfect health, is that baby also a blessing? How do we measure blessing? And if every Sunday We pray for the older members of the congregation. When God preserves their life, at the end of the year we say, thank you, Lord, for this blessing. But when we look back after the end of 2013, during the past year, several members of our congregation passed on to go to their Lord and Saviour. And they left behind people who loved them, people who were mourning. How does that fit in with God blessing us? We observe that our church and our school continue to function, and that's a blessing. But for various reasons, the school had to miss some of their regular teaching staff. That was not so pleasant, and it did not make our lives easier. Was that a blessing? Bible study societies continue to meet. Surely that is a blessing. But Bible study society doesn't seem to be a very high priority for all of us. So is that still a blessing? And then we can talk about Canada as a nation. We have an abundance of food and drink and every material blessing, even while abortion, gay marriage, and other abominations continue unabated. How can we know if God is blessing? How can we be sure about whom God is blessing? To answer this question, brothers and sisters, to know when God is blessing and whom God is blessing, to know, we should think about those Israelites in the desert one more time. They could see desert all around them, and they could also wonder whether or not the Lord was truly blessing them. How could they know? Well, every day the high priest would raise his hands and he would tell them, the Lord bless you and keep you. And then the Israelites, they had to accept that blessing by faith. See, when the Lord says that he is blessing us, then mum might be sick. Then my sister might be dying. Then I might not have enough money to pay the bills. But the Lord says that he is blessing me. And I must believe that. And then, when we believe that God is blessing us, when we believe that God is blessing us, then our faith opens the tap, so to speak. And then, by our faith, the stream of God's blessing flows out into our hearts and over our lives. When we believe that God is blessing us, then God is blessing us. But on the other hand, if the Israelites doubt that God is blessing them, by their unbelief, they close their hearts and they close their lives to God's blessing, then by their unbelief, they block out God's blessing altogether. So at the end of this worship service, on the first Sunday of the year 2014, God will again promise to bless you and keep you. That means God is giving us all a task to do in this new year. And then when he blesses us, he promises to give us everything that we need to do that task. That promise is his blessing, his word of blessing. So we can measure what is happening in our lives. We can count our dollars and our cents. We can go to the doctor and get a full physical. We can evaluate how well we are doing at school. And then some of us might say that God is blessing us richly, while others might feel that God is being rather stingy with his blessings. but over against what we see, over against what we experience, the Lord says, I will bless you. I will keep you. The Lord says, my power, my protection, my love will surround you and empower you in this new year. May God work in us all a living faith so that we receive his blessing with believing hearts every Sunday again. Now, in our second point, we will see that in the blessing of our text, we also taste the grace of God the Son. Now, before we say anything else about the blessing that we find in our text, we should first notice that the Israelites would receive this blessing from Aaron and not from Moses. The reason why Aaron gave this blessing to the Israelites was because Aaron was the high priest. And as the high priest, every morning and every evening, Aaron would offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And then, after he made the sacrifice, he would climb up onto the edge of the altar, and there he would stretch out his hands, hands that were still bloody from the sacrifice, and he would bless the congregation with the words of our text. See, we need sacrifice because of our sins. We need sacrifice because when we sin, God's face becomes dark. God becomes angry. But when the sacrifice is made, when the blood is poured out, then God receives payment. Then God's wrath is satisfied. And then God's face shines upon us. Then God is gracious towards us. For Jesus' sake. And now back to the words of blessing. Back to God's promise that he will make his face shine upon us. To understand this promise of God's face shining upon us, think about a 2-year-old child with his mother. When mum says to him, don't touch the plant, the child does not automatically obey his mother. Instead, he might very well try to touch the plant again. But as he reaches for the plant, he keeps his eyes fixed on mum's face. He tries to read her thoughts. If mum seems to be more focused on her book than on him, he notices that. If mum only laughs at him, he knows that he can do what he likes and there is nothing to worry about. But if mum is looking angry, he notices that as well. The point is, for the child, it makes all the difference in the world when he knows what his mum is thinking, what he can read in her face that determines what he will do. Because the child is so intent on his mum, the plant that he was thinking about touching, that plant is not important anymore. Only mum's face, that's what matters. And now, just like that child is focused on his mum, even while he is thinking of touching that plant, in the same way, we should think about what happened in the world in 2013. If we look back over the year that was, 2013 was not such a bad year. The worst natural disaster of the year was Typhoon Haiyan, which hit the Philippines in November. It only killed about 6,000 people. In most recent years, there have been natural disasters that were much worse. So, not too bad. And besides, In 2013, there were no tsunamis. There were no major outbreaks of avian flu or mad cow disease. And as far as terrorist attacks was concerned, the worst terrorist attack in North America for the year was at the Boston Marathon, where only 5 people were killed. So again, in comparison with recent years, 2013 was not a bad year at all. But there is also another side to that story. On a different note, during the last few months of the year, parts of England saw the biggest tidal surge in 60 years. The last few months of the year also saw a major ice storm in Ontario. And during the summer of 2013, there were worse than average bushfires in Australia. And all these events strengthened the impression that the world's climate is spinning out of control. And for that reason, because the world is becoming so paranoid about climate change, in the field of medical technology, it was reported in August that some European scientists have taken stem cells from a cow, and they brought those stem cells into a laboratory, and there they used those stem cells to make a genuine 100% beef hamburger. The plan is, as soon as possible, before climate change becomes irreversible, the plan is that we won't need beef cattle anymore. We won't need farms for chicken or turkeys or pork anymore, because all that food is going to be grown in laboratories instead. Then we won't need animals at all anymore. And we think about this, and we scratch our heads, and we wonder where the world is going. We wonder what mankind is going to change next, and we wonder what effect that is going to have on us, on our lifestyle, on our children, on our future, on the churches. And now, beloved congregation, just like that child reaching for that plant, just like that child reaching for that plant looks at his mum's face, because he knows, if mum is smiling at me, everything is okay. But if mum is looking angry at me, I am in trouble. In the same way, we can wonder where this world is going. We can wonder about what might happen in 2014. But we understand that there is only one thing that is really important, one thing that matters, and that is the face of God. If God lets his face shine on us, then everything will be okay in 2014 and beyond. Then God will watch over us. Then God will make everything turn out well. And so we look in our text and we see Aaron, the high priest, come out of the tabernacle. We see him raise his hands. We hear him say, "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." And we understand the high priest has brought the sacrifice. The Lamb of God has been slain, and his blood has been poured out as payment for your sins. And so the face of our Heavenly Father is forever changed. The face of our Good Shepherd is forever kind and gentle. He wants us to look to him and to be confident of his grace and his care. He wants us to trust in his power and his faithfulness. O people of God, in this world there is sin, there is sickness, there is pain, there is struggle. there are so many developments that look scary for Christians. If we look only at what is happening in this world, we get no answers, no comfort, no hope. But our text reminds us to look up and to believe the promise of God, that his face is shining upon us and he is gracious to us. The light that came into the world on Christmas Day is shining down from heaven to give us a future and a hope. In the year 2014, every Sunday again, the Lord our God will promise to make his face shine upon you and to be gracious to you. So we have nothing to fear, because Jesus Christ is our high priest. He made the sacrifice so that God's anger is gone and his face is kind towards us. Now, very briefly, we will see in our third point that in this blessing we also taste the peace of God the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of our second point, I used the example of a mother and her child. We saw that when the Lord's face shines upon us, that is like a mother whose love and care for her children radiates from her face. But in the third part of the high priestly blessing, God promises to turn his face towards us and to give us peace. When God promises to turn his face towards us, again, we might think of a child who wants attention from his mum. He's talking to his mum, but his mum is looking somewhere else. So he grabs mum's face. He forces mum to look him in the eyes. When God turns his face towards us, he looks at us. He studies our faces and our hearts. He gives us his full and undivided attention. He knows everything that happened in your life in 2013, 2012, 2011, and before that. And now, God looks at you. God weighs your heart, your spiritual needs. And God says, "What shall I do with him? What shall I give to her?" God turns his face towards us, and God thinks about what we need in our lives and what he should give to us. And to understand the importance of this promise, think about a conversation that we might have in the basement or in the parking lot. If you talk to me, I listen to what you say. But while you are talking, I might greet somebody over your shoulder. Or if we are standing outside, while you talk to me, I watch a car drive out of the parking lot, and I keep an eye open for little children who might run in the path of that car. Then I am listening to you, I really am. But I cannot give you my full attention because there are too many distractions. And so, think about God in heaven. Every day, millions of people pray to him. But then, God turns his face towards you. When you pray, God gives you his undivided attention. Even if you have not prayed for a whole week, for whatever reason, when you do pray again, God gives you his undivided attention. Even if you are on the road late at night, even if you are concentrating on driving, but you say a prayer in your heart, even if that prayer is no more than, "Please, Lord, please protect me," then God turns his face towards you. God gives you his full and undivided attention. God notices how you are doing. God knows what you need. And then, when God turns his face towards you, he gives you peace. Then we have peace, brothers and sisters. We have peace. Not because everything in this world or in our lives is so wonderful. We have peace, not because we can see that everything is going to work out right, but we have peace because the Spirit of God is working in our hearts and he makes us trust God. He makes it possible for us to give our problems over to him. We have peace because we believe that God's face is turned towards us. And we believe that he is giving us his attention and his care. We have peace because we trust that he will give us everything that we need. And so, beloved congregation, in this coming week, for many of us, life will go back to normal. And then, it's not a nice world that we live in. It's not a pleasant world. It's not a safe world for us or for our children. If we look at the world, if we look at the church for that matter, if we look in our own hearts and in our own lives, we might seriously question whether or not God is blessing us. But at the end of this service, this morning, and every Sunday in this new year, the Lord will promise to bless you and keep you. And with that promise, God tells you what is living in his heart. He loves you and he wants everything to go well for you. God is on your side, so against you there shall be none. In our second point, God promised to make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. That means in this dark and hopeless world where many things seem to be going wrong, a lot of things can change in 2014, 2015 and beyond. The world seems to be out of control. But our High Priest Jesus Christ has gone to the cross and there he paid for our sins. He made peace with God. And so, instead of thinking too much about what is happening in the world, we need to think about the face of God. We understand what God thinks about us, what God wants for our lives. That is what matters. And so the blessing, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That is the answer to all our questions. That is the solution to all our problems. And in our third point, God promised us that the Holy Spirit will always abide with us. The Spirit of God knows our hearts. He knows what we need. He knows what we are worrying about. And he works powerfully in our hearts to give us faith and so to give us peace. People of God, you have the blessing of the Lord. He will bless you richly in 2014 because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So trust him always. Amen.